Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
We are only 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, and we had a very, very, let's call it interesting episode of Raw. So let's take the finger of power and let's give the good bits an up.
Bad bits are down.
Also, before we do get there, make sure you head over to the community page right now and vote in this week's Retro Ups and Downs poll. We're doing a WrestleMania special for obvious reasons. We shall do that next week as well, again for obvious reasons, but this time you can pick from WrestleMania 18, WrestleMania 19, WrestleMania 20, or WrestleMania 28. Okay, look, I do not get this brand new storyline between Drew McIntyre, who's over here, and Bobby Lashley, who is over there. For the last year or so, Bobby Lashley has been a machine that has destroyed anybody. He doesn't have any emotions, he just wants to kill you, and he will win every single matchup he's in. And now he's facing Drew McIntyre as the champion. He's like, oh, I'm all scared. I need to find somebody to take him out. It doesn't tie into anything. Because, yeah, he's now put a bounty on Drew's head, and whoever takes him out will then get the real WWE shot at WrestleMania. It's a bit like he just woke up and went, well, you know what? I can't really be bothered. Still, that's how Raw started, and we saw Drew McIntyre in the back, and he now understands that he has a target painted on him, so he's have to go and tread carefully when it does come to the show. He also warned any potential WWE superstar that wanted to catch their sin, you probably can't trust the Hurt Business. And then my word, did that exact idea come true. Not gonna lie, throughout all of this, I was hoping that Kalisto would be the one to make this happen, because who doesn't want to see a Bobby Lashley versus Kalisto main event at WrestleMania 37, when the Hurt Business came to the ring, and WWE just can't help themselves. Because at first they tried to spin this, that it was nothing personal against Drew McIntyre, they just don't think he deserves any more opportunities, and would rather give it to an up-and-comer. And then MVP turned to Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander and said, you guys are crap, you guys lost the titles. And Bobby Lashley finished it off with, you're an embarrassment to me, and I don't want you in the group anymore. Alexander and Shelton quite rightly pointed out, well, if it wasn't for us, maybe you wouldn't be the champion, Bob. And even though MVP tried to calm things down, Lashley started to beat both of them up, which means it's goodbye and RIP to the coolest group on Monday Night Raw. Bobby then doubled down on this by screaming that it was over, and I just don't get why we've done it. Like, they were great for such a long time, but we barely ever got going. When we did get going is when we took that cool picture of Bobby Lashley being the WWE champion and Shelton and Cedric were the tag team champions, and then within 3 weeks, we have just pulled the rug out from underneath them. So there's no need for this. There was no need for this at all, especially because no matter what happens, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin won't be in as good as a place, because that always happens when WWE breaks up teams. Therefore, it's getting the down. We then just had the most bizarre segment with Riddle afterwards, and somehow it wasn't the most bizarre segment we were going to have with Riddle on this evening, because he was asked, why do you think Sheamus attacked you last week? And I think he thought it was because the Irishman was either hungry or he had lost his soul. All right. He then saw Titus O'Neil and said he can't wait for the roast at WrestleMania, because of course Riddle thinks he's a roaster as opposed to a hoster. And Titus O'Neil then asked to check his temperature because he was worried about Matt Riddle. And yes, I would feel the same. Before all this was done too, Sheamus appeared and beat the crap out of him. And a small part of me, even though Sheamus is meant to be the bad guy, was like, yeah, I can kind of understand why you would want to do that and why you would want to punch him in the face. Alexander and Benjamin then found Adam Pearce in the back, and they want two separate matches against Bobby Lashley, one on this evening and one on the next episode of Monday Night Raw building up to WrestleMania. And there was a great bit here when Cedric Alexander was like, oh man, do you think you have to ask Bobby Lashley like you do with Roman Reigns? And I enjoyed that because the head of the table is a master manipulator, and Adam Pearce kind of like, I don't have to ask Roman Reigns anything. And then he checked
to make sure the tribal chief wasn't around.
They told him to grow a pair and make the matches, and of course he did make the match. When have you ever seen a segment like this that didn't end with the request being granted? Sheamus then beat Riddle, who of course is the US champion, so that he can get a US championship shot at WrestleMania. I know it's ridiculous when WWE does this, but at least this was a pretty damn good match. MVP was on commentary as Samoa Joe had the night off, and this was just really fun. Especially when Sheamus was sat on the top rope and Riddle, much like Kurt Angle, just ran up there, caught him, and threw him back down to the mat. I will never cease to be amazed by this. Sheamus then powerbombed his way out of a triangle choke to remind you that he's really strong. And then he hit the white noise on the apron, and I went and did my research. If you don't know, that's the hardest part of the ring. The finish really rocked as well, because Sheamus went for the bro kick, and Matt Riddle decided, well, I'm just gonna joust this one. So he went at Sheamus at the same time with a running knee, but then Sheamus somehow stopped that, and he instead smashed Riddle with his own knee, and it looked so damn devastating. I was like, that better be the finish. Thankfully it was, 1, 2, 3. This worked really well and was actually different. And then for some reason, Riddle attacked Sheamus and pushed him to the floor. I suppose just to let you know, they are gonna fight at WrestleMania. I'm not gonna lie. I think Sheamus should become the United States champion. He has earned it. We then learned that it is not Braun Strowman who is the stupidest person on Raw. That honor goes to First Commander Jackson Ryker and Elias, because they are still hanging around with Shane McMahon, even though Shane McMahon has just screwed them over for the last few weeks. These three also got interviewed backstage, and they said they had a big expose reveal on Braun Strowman. And if you were excited for this in any way, well, good for you, actually. That's what should happen when you watch television. But I had all the fear. We also saw McIntyre worrying about who may attack him when he bumped into AJ Styles, and they just teased a future program here, even though for now AJ Styles and Omos are going to focus on the tag team titles. And I'm just going to cross everything like this and close my eyes, because I really, really, really want to see Drew and AJ in a one-on-one singles match that goes a few months. Now I'm feeling a little bit awkward, so I come back to life. And so, yes, Shane, Elias, and Ryker did come to the ring. And if you can believe it, their big reveal, their big expose, which I'm going to assume aren't going to make any of the papers, was Braun Strowman's fifth grade report card. Oh, how much fun. Apparently back in fifth grade, Braun Strowman was called Braun Strowman, even though you can disprove that one in around about 72 seconds. And of course he failed every single subject because he's a massive loser and he's really, really dumb. We even saw a Photoshop of the Monster Among Men, and he had a dunce cap on next to the sum 2 + 2 = 5. So this whole thing 100% has to be for kids. That then doubly got proved because Strowman came out here all angry and he beat Ryker in a match. And when they were all on the outside, he did his big run around the ring thing, and we got the choo-choo train sound effects blaring out of the PA. I still don't understand what it is. Has Braun Strowman gone to the audio guy at WWE and said, if you don't play my train sound effects when I run around the ring, I will rip your head off? Now that would actually be quite a good story, because Braun Strowman comes across like a psychopath. I also think right now we should start calling in the terror of the train yard for obvious reasons, and when this was all done, all three guys attacked him. But this is the terror of the train yard, the Totty, he was able to throw them all off. And even though he thought about chasing Shane McMahon at one stage, I guess he was a little bit tired because he got a microphone instead. And after sounding like he was going to announce that it would be a Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania, because of course he's allowed to pick the stipulation, he instead just went, oh, nope, it's going to be a steel cage. I was then in tears because MVP on commentary went, well, Shane McMahon isn't laughing now, when the camera cut to Shane McMahon and he was going, ha-ha, and he was laughing. I was like, oh man, this show is not going how I think WWE intended. Down. Miz TV followed this, and man, again, just so weird. Because Miz and Morrison were mostly out here to introduce their Bad Bunny music video, and they somehow were able to introduce it, I think, on three separate occasions within a 5-minute window. And this was exactly what you thought it would be too. And again, as we've already said, if you enjoyed this, hell yeah, man, that's awesome for you. It's why you watched Monday Night Raw, but it went flying over my bald head. And to be honest, felt like it went on forever. It was just them jumping around in bunny costumes with lines like, I don't know, nobody in the world likes to be a bunny, so we made this music video and we tried to be funny. Where's my EP deal? Bad Bunny and Damian Priest eventually arrived on the rampway, and Bunny called Miz a bitch in Spanish, meaning Damian Priest had to translate it. So now this match is twice as serious, because again, we have it in Spanish and we've had it in English. And when all four guys were looking at each other, Damian Priest took a step back, and so did John Morrison. So it was just the Miz and Mr. Bunny staring at each other. Miz went to attack him too, but the Bunny got out of the way, and fair play to Bad, he landed him with a punch and it looked damn good. Now maybe he just punched him for real, but I don't care. If it works, it works. Priest and Bunny then destroyed the Miz TV set while daring Miz and Morrison to get back in the ring, but of course they're cowards, so they're not. And if you are wondering, why is it a singles match other than a tag team match? Well, apparently Damian Priest and John Morrison are injured, so if they do get over those niggles, I'm sure someone will go hullabaloo and turn it into a tag team match. I actually thought the ending to this was pretty good, and we are doing a good job with Bad Bunny, but again, it went on for such a long time, it's got to get it down.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Randy Orton then said he was going to send The Fiend to hell. He has fought many legends, but none like Bray Wyatt, which is why he's gonna have to turn to the dark side, but he knows exactly what he's going to do. And that makes one of us. I have absolutely no clue what the stipulation for this is going to be, and I also have no clue who on earth is gonna win. Bobby Lashley then destroyed Shelton Benjamin. Now this made me very sad, because I like Shelton Benjamin. However, when you do look at it from a story point of view, this is exactly how Bob should be being presented. A killer, a madman, unstoppable, not scared of Drew McIntyre. I'm a little bit worried about what will happen to Shelton Benjamin now. I don't want him to just vanish. And of course, eventually he passed out in the Hurt Lock. But we have to do this kind of thing with our WWE champion. I'm gonna give it a very reserved up. We're then backstage again with The New Day, AJ Styles and Omos, and The New Day actually convinced these two that before Xavier Woods and AJ Styles have a match, they should get involved in a bunch of games. And I was like, well, this is either gonna go one of two ways, that being good or bad or up or down, and actually, I'm gonna give it an up. Because these four are just such goofs, but for some reason, I get a massive kick out of it. And you can now be going, why didn't you enjoy the Miz TV stuff? I don't have an answer for that. I just wake up and I watch things, and this is how I feel. Because they played both charades and Pictionary, and of course, Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston were on exactly the same page, but Omos and AJ Styles couldn't get anything right. I mean, Omos couldn't even work out that AJ Styles had drawn a sun. However, it was mostly because Omos was like, I don't want to play these stupid games. I want to beat somebody up. I quite like his character. He lost his rag at the end of it too and said that none of this matters. The only thing that does is the tag team championships. And where the hell is Omos from? When he gets really angry, he has the most terrifying voice imaginable. So this guy is just getting better and better and better and better. AJ Styles then started to throw all the games out of the ring. And Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston go, oh, look at him. He's like a three-year-old. I don't know. This just works for me. It ticks my box. You're allowed to get mad in the comments. There was also this overly happy music that kept playing all the time, like da 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 da. It put a smile on my face. And if you want to get mad, there he is. There's Grumble Bear again. You can just be him. We also did have Xavier Woods and AJ Styles, and I actually enjoyed this too. even though it did end in a disqualification. Bring it down. There it is, the DQ board. It's up to 17. It happened when Omos basically blocked Xavier Woods and just chucked him back into the ring. And this week, the referee decided, well, there is no real rule book, so I'm going to call that a disqualification. What I really had fun with, though, was the aftermath, because for months I wanted to see Omos go crazy, and here he went crazy. Not only did he pick up Kofi Kingston and essentially throw him into the deep abyss or over the barricade, but he also wrecked Woods with this like spine buster powerbomb thing. And it was just so easy to go, well, that's a quite terrifying man. He could beat anybody up. So now he's my new favorite guy. He also then pinned Xavier by just putting his foot on his chest as AJ Styles did the 1-2-3. And Styles was so pleased with himself here. On the down low, I kind of want them to win the titles. So they just made all of it click, even though on paper, it did sound really stupid. Alexa Bliss was then playing with her jack-in-a-box again, and that is not a euphemism. She also told us that back in the day, it used to be known as a devil in a box, but now it's gonna be a fiend in a box. And I was like, what a long way round to get to that point. In case Auden doesn't know what that means though, Alexa told us it means he's going to die at WrestleMania. So that escalated quickly, and after she had done the whole dun 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 dun, the camera panned out because she was on her swing set, and the fiend was just sat there. And I don't know whether I've noticed this before, I mean, clearly I haven't, but he doesn't actually have an arm anymore. His arm is all charred, and his arm is all burned. This whole thing is really quite surreal. Drew McIntyre then went ballistic. I mean, despite the fact that clearly no one on the WWE roster actually cared about Bobby Lashley's challenge, he burst into the locker room and he just started shouting at them like some kind of drunken dad. Like, one wrestler was on his phone, so Drew was like, oh, I see you trying to trend, are you? Because that's how you get opportunity nowadays. And I was like, yeah, Drew, that's a pretty good way to go about it. He then got in Strowman's face and asked him if he actually thought he was a train. That's not true, he didn't say that. But he did say, Braun, you should be a five-time champion by now, but you're not because you absolutely suck. And Strowman, like a telltale game, was like, I'll remember that. So I bet Drew McIntyre does win the title at WrestleMania, and there's a program for down the line. Drew then threatened Humberto Carrillo, who I bet was just happy to be on TV, and then he went after Riddle, but Riddle's like, well, I don't care about anything. He then beat up Drew Gulak, before he went face to face with Ricochet. They kind of had it out too, with Rick saying that he doesn't care about Bobby Lashley's offer, but he does appreciate an opportunity. So later on, yeah, we are gonna get Drew Mac versus Rick. Not gonna lie either, as soon as that was made, I started writing Ricochet's will. This was really excellent though, because not only did it showcase another side of Drew, but it also made the story a little bit more believable, because Drew McIntyre was selling it as exactly that. So he getting up. And then, come on, why? How many times are we gonna have to see it? Because it was Naomi versus Shayna Baszler. And I swear, all those years ago, when my mum popped me out and bore me, she turned on the television and she was watching Naomi versus Shayna Baszler. We're just going round and round and round and round. And it always ends exactly the same way. Down. I mean, there were so many distractions here. WWE is fortunate I'm only going to give it one, but bring down the board, and that is up to 43. And because of that, Naomi was able to use the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up, and she got the 1-2-3. Who flipping cares? Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose were also on commentary going, oh man, we really want a title shot, tag title shot, even though I thought they wanted to go after the women's title a few weeks ago. You know, this is going to end. This is going to end with a four-way at WrestleMania. I bet Shayna and Nia Jax are still the champions, and then I'm just going to have to go and lay down forever. And it's none of these people's faults. We just don't move forward at all. I then have no idea what happened, but I think I may have reached peak happiness. Because we were backstage once again with Riddle, who this time was talking to Oscar. And after going, oh, Oscar, do you think they have scooters in Japan? He just went, oh no, I forgot what I was going to say. And he scooted off. Now, given his character, there's every chance this was planned. But go and watch Oscar's reaction. This had to have been a mistake. And somehow it made it live onto Monday Night Raw. I mean, maybe the wrong tape got passed to the producers. Maybe it was literally live and Riddle had a breakdown. But this was fabulous. And I hope that we run with this and just do it every single week. In fact, it gets a very, very ridiculous round of applause. Rhea Ripley was then shown towering over some dude like she's 9'2", even though she's 5'7", but we should do stuff like that. Turn her into an absolute beast. And then it was time for a contract signing between her good self and Oscar.
up.
Or at least half of it gets an up. Because at first, it was just traditional WWE stuff. Oscar doesn't think that Rhea Ripley is ready, but Rhea Ripley is ready and she's super confident. And when Oscar took it too far, Rhea grabbed the table and she chucked it into the Empress's of Tomorrow's face and then looked like a badass. This was fine and also where it should have ended. But then, okay, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, and of course, along with Reginald, he was there earlier too. Why do the tag team champions have to keep interjecting themselves in every single women's feud since the beginning of time? By the end of this, we also had a tag team match set up for next week. This is abysmal, truly abysmal. We've already seen it with Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, and now we're just copy and pasting it on the other show just because Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax are annoyed that they don't have a WrestleMania match. Hold your horses, you buffoons. You've still got a couple of weeks. Of course you're going to get one. It also means that we have another story, which is, oh, how can they coexist? Which makes no sense. We just exist anyway. Look, I'm existing. I all of a sudden vanish from existence and this gets it down. Would you please, please split up the women's title and the tag team's title and involve more of the women's roster? Oh, I know, crazy. What an idea. MVP then found Ricochet and said it was awesome that he was taking the Hurt Business up on their opportunity. He said, no, I don't care about you. You're a bunch of goofs. I just want to face Drew because I know what a victory there will do for my career. And I was like, Rick, what kind of world are you living on? He's going to kick you down in about 2 minutes. And that's pretty much exactly what happened. And I wouldn't have minded so much if what was about to go down hadn't gone down, but what was about to go down did go down. Because it was really fun, at least Ricochet got on TV, although I don't understand how he's not booked all the time. At one point he was kind of thrown onto the barricade and he just balanced there. The man is absolutely unreal, but yes, he got kicked in the face, 1, 2, 3, done. To tie into the bounty stuff though, straight afterwards Mustafa Ali was out there, and then we were getting Drew McIntyre versus Mustafa Ali. Now one, there was no mention of retribution, we've had no follow-up, so if you bought into that one, more for you. But also two, isn't it a little bit of a shame that we just kind of threw out there Drew McIntyre versus Ricochet, Drew McIntyre versus Ali matches on Monday Night Raw? Because while I understand I'm living in Dreamtown, if Drew does win the WWE title back at WrestleMania, how lovely would it be if a couple of real matches could have been against guys like this? Much like Brock Lesnar did when he took on a Finn Balor or Daniel Bryan, or just smaller people. I would have really appreciated that, and instead we have just thrown it away, and we're probably never going to see it again. Down. We weren't done either as we segued right into our main event angle, and Drew McIntyre was so fired up after this, he demanded that Bobby Lashley came to the ring and face him. So out came Bobby Lashley to face him, even though I thought he was terrified of Drew McIntyre. So I don't understand this at all quite clearly. They started to fight, which of course is the most WWE thing ever, and then WWE went super WWE, because after McIntyre had dumped Bob out the ring, from behind, he got attacked by SmackDown's Baron Corbin. He hit a deep six before Bobby applied the Hurt Lock to Drew McIntyre around about 72,944 times, and then the screen faded to black, and that was the end of the show. Now here's the thing. Firstly, it is kind of cool that WWE is mentioning a few years ago these three guys did used to be a group, and that's exactly the case. I always like it when we play on the past. It can give anything a bit more weight. But how is this even a thing? How is Baron Corbin allowed to forget about the brand split and just turn up on Monday nights? And if it is the case, why isn't Big E coming to Raw every now and then to help out the New Day? Why doesn't Tucker, who's fallen into a hole, go to SmackDown and try and get even more revenge on Otis? You can't just do stuff like this because it makes the whole thing ridiculous. Also, I like Baron Corbin. He shouldn't be a third wheel in a WrestleMania feud. He should have a one-on-one match with something and it should be made a big deal of. That's how I feel about it. It just feels like this strange universe where WWE is so terrified that Bobby Lashley may get some cheers at WrestleMania, they're trying to come up with ways to make sure he gets booed, and that is coming at the expense of a smart, sensible story. And therefore, down. And so, yes, as you can see by my counters, even though I always try to make clear it has nothing to do with these counters, because sometimes you can have a great finish that makes you feel all warm and fuzzy in your tum-tum, so you enjoyed Raw. Well, that's not what happened this week. This was all over the place, it was crazy, almost felt a bit like WWE has no clue what they will do at WrestleMania. So very sadly, it has to get a down.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.